97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Is in studio. Welcome back, sir.
Hi-de-ho.
Instead of beating around the bush, let's get right to a big topic.
Okay.
Got an article pulled up here from Real Clear Politics that I've been wanting to talk with you about. It's about Trump. It's about him, a statement that he made that I think is a very good talker because everybody's going to have an opinion on it, and I want to know what yours is. He asked at a recent rally, how can Christians vote for Democrats? He said this. And the former president, evangelicals were engaged into him and evangelicals, which he's not putting himself in the category. That's what's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we're engaged together in what he likened to be a righteous crusade against atheists, globalists, and the Marxists. In a 90-minute speech, Trump alleged that Democrats were not just trying to take away religious liberty, they were battling God Almighty himself. Quote, they're waging war, he said of the cosmic battle, and it's not a war they're going to win. And for my part, Trump promised, if returned to the White House, restore our nation under God. But back to that main question there, which he asked, how can Christians vote for Democrats? I want to know what you think about that.
It's interesting. That's not a new thing. It's always been from the perspective of the liberals and the progressives who are whether outspoken about it or subtly or maybe unaware of their Marxist tendencies or their affinity towards...
Which is like government is God,
right?
Essentially. Without saying so, that's the role it plays.
So I think that's been the case for a long time. And there's this is going on in the Catholic Church now about the current Pope. And it's always been a question for, I think, a lot of Catholics and Christians in general... How can you be Christian and at the same time support some of those the Marxist ideology and the government is the it doesn't really if you look at it critically it just doesn't make sense.
So you're agreeing with Trump here?
Yeah, but I think it's even more apropos now because they've gone so far. The left has gone with the trans stuff and the Antifa and the BLM and the everything that they've been pushing is going even more. It's going to be controversial, but demonic in a way. It's not even just hey we want The evil rich white guy, we're for the little guy. You know, they're not. It's not even that anymore. It's now we're going anti-Christian.
Yeah, and if you've decided that the cause you want to fight for is kids' genital mutilation, I'm not saying that's every Democrat, but I'm saying that if that is a cause you've decided to fight for, you've been deceived.
Mm-hmm.
You have listened to doctrines of demons, if you want to put it that way, and are fighting the wrong fight. But it's always framed in a way that makes you feel good about it, like you're accomplishing something. And that's what it
does.
Or
that you care.
Or that, like I'm so caring. I wanted to bring it up because it's a mantra that I use on the show a lot that I say always politics is downstream from culture. Culture is downstream from spirituality/morality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Trump, even in 2015-16, got this. And he used it politically. I'm not going to say that he was like super righteous in like his beliefs about these things. But he saw that Christians supported him because Christians wanted a fighter. mm-hmm. who is going to get in there and defend the faith through policy, essentially. Not the faith, but was going to, through government, push back on things that were being eroded. And he did that. He recognized that, and he did it, and he followed through with it. I mean, he pretty much said and did exactly what he said he was going to do. A lot of other stuff about the way he treated Israel and the mm-hmm. moving the embassy to Jerusalem, you know, that stuff, it doesn't seem like maybe it matters much, but to somebody who is deeply rooted in the faith, it does matter.
Yeah.
And I think the interesting part of flipping this question is kind of where I wanted to go with it, which is reverse it. How can Christians vote for Trump? Because you hear that question asked a lot from Democrats, a lot of times, honestly, religious Democrats, that they look at Trump and go, but this guy is nothing like what you would want a Christian president to be like. And I think there's some validity to that. But how do you answer that question? How can Christians vote for Trump or support Trump?
That's a lot easier for me. I think there are some who probably would want a Christian president, but I think a lot of people understand that's a hard sell, because there's so much about being the leader of the free world and the most powerful country on earth that it doesn't allow you to. I mean, people talk about Jimmy Carter was a good man, but a horrible president. And it to me, it's, you need somebody who will respect and protect Christians and faith and the First Amendment and all of those things and general societal morality, but it's not a requirement that they be the epitome of that. I think it's you can't be both a good, strong political leader and, you know, a perfect human.
Yeah.
So, the nature of Christianity is that we know we are not perfect humans. And Trump doesn't go out and flaunt his mistakes and say, you know, I can do whatever I want. He might have in his younger life or in his personally, he might think that, who knows. But that's not the role of Christians, really, to say you have to be this. As long as you're working at it and I don't know. To me, I don't think there's a lot of people who hold leaders accountable personally, as long as they're doing the right thing. And as long as they're not like a Clinton or even a JFK, where they don't care. They're going to live this horrible life and be selfish people personally, try to gain what they can. There's an expectation that people are flawed and sinful, and there's sort of, most people should understand that in that role, you have to be a bit of a sociopath. you have to be able to make tough decisions that can't just be solely based on your faith.
Yeah, I think this is a tricky question, and people have been asking it since 2015-16. And it's weird because it's both a tricky question and I think deserves a nuanced approach, and it's also a very easy answer to me.
Yeah.
Because, yes, that guy is not what I would want my kids to walk out their faith looking like.
Right.
You know, he's lived a basically, whoops, just a playboy lifestyle.
Yeah.
And the weird thing is, we all know it. I mean, you mentioned the Clintons, you mentioned other politicians. It seems as if other politicians and public figures live these dual lives where they have this public persona and then they have this private persona.
Right.
That's very different. And hopefully they're the same, but you don't really know.
Right.
With Trump, it's like, you know everything that's happened to this guy, at least that, I mean, I'm sure there's other things that we don't all know, of course, but it's like his indiscretions have been made very public, and it's almost comical how big his mistakes have been in the public eye.
Yeah.
Which is weird, but I do think that that's true. And I think there's something to that. I think that if God is calling that man to be a leader, then he's also like, and you're going to be exposed for what you are at the same time. We're going to come clean with everything. And so it's like, without him even having a choice, here it is all laid on the table. And he already is kind of an open book in a way too. But all of that is just to say that I don't really try to defend him personally.
Yeah.
And I don't know anybody that really does. I think when you defend Trump in the faith, you're purely doing it from a leadership and policy standpoint, and that's it. And there is a very clear dividing line between those things that you say, I like what he does, I don't necessarily like what he personally does. And people sometimes will say, well, policy's great, no mean tweets. And it's kind of saying the same thing.
Right.
That I don't necessarily love the way he acts or behaves. I don't really support a lot of the way he's lived his life. I wouldn't do that as a Christian. But as a president, I like that he's just balls to the wall, like not afraid of really doing anything. It completely changed the political dynamic for Republicans, that now anybody running for office on the Republican side has got to have nuts of steel, or they're just not going to win the nomination.
Yeah.
And past Trump, that's what it's going to look like, is somebody who's going to get in there and fight for those policies and positions, and in a sense, culturally fight those battles from this big bully pulpit. And that's what a lot of Christians, I would say the majority of, I hate the word evangelical Christians, because nobody uses that word in actual Christianity. Mm-hmm. Nobody at my church or any church I've ever been to says, I'm an evangelical Christian. That is a political word that people apply to certain groups of Christians. But Bible-believing Christians and people who believe that the core tenets of the faith are the most important things in life say, we want somebody in office who's going to support those tenets, who's going to look like me in policy. And I think that's a very easy, clear answer.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think the other aspect is, like you said, Trump is what you see is what you get, whereas other leaders and presidents in the past who have done despicable things, they lie about it. They deny it. They cover it up. And there's this selfish motive. Now, Trump is conceited.
He is conceited, and he has lied about those things.
Yeah.
But he always is proven to be, it's all just out there.
Right.
Like, regardless of what he says, you know what he's done.
But he doesn't need anything from anybody.
Right.
Whereas everybody else, it seems like, in politics on both sides, what's in it for me? What can I get out of this? How does this make me look? Even though Trump has this, you know, kind of bravado, at the end of the day, he doesn't care what people think about him. He doesn't need other people's money. He doesn't need other people's, adulations or anything like that. Like, people typically in politics are just thrive on that.
Yeah. And again, we'll end on this just because we got to cut this segment at some point, but It's such a duality with him, because at the same time that you're right, he doesn't really need any of those things. He also, it seems like at times, that's all he wants. You know, all he wants is your attention and adulation. And at the other end, you're like, you know what? He doesn't really need any of those things. And because of that, he's able to do whatever he wants.
But he won't sell his soul to get it.
Kinda. Mm-hmm. Yeah, kinda. I don't know. It's so hard to pin down.
Yeah.
Anyway, good discussion. We'll take a quick break. Old Roy, thanks for being here. We'll be right back.
Wiggins America.
Get more at 971talk.com.